Okay, so when I describe what fun is, it really depends on who I'm talking to, the level of simplicity or complexity that we may want to get into. If it gets to be too complicated, you can ask Jovi here who's with me. I will deal with the sort of business aspects and not the exact functioning of the software. Now, fun is a software download that turns your router into a member of a global family of routers who share Wi-Fi. Right? A software download that turns your router into a member of a global family of routers who share Wi-Fi. That is simply what phone is. Now, having been in America for a while, I hear, you're really like Sputnik, or you're really like Cometa, or you're really like Milkfish, or you're really like Milkshake, or you're really like... And everybody comes to me with something that they say that we're really like or we're like. And I guess we're somewhat like all of them, but I guess none of them would describe themselves the way we do, you know, and never did. And it's not that we claim to be original. Of course, we're an open source company that is contributing and getting at the same time, you know, sort of in a BitTorrent fashion. We give and take, but we think we're original enough to call people's attention to what we're doing and become Phoneros, because we had around 3,000 Phoneros before the announcement that we had partnered with Google and Skype and Sequoia and Index Ventures and others, and we got around 17,000 registrations in the last 3 weeks. When we turned those registrations into hotspots, which we're now doing, we are probably soon going to be the largest hotspot network in the world. We would be by number of registrations, but now we have to turn those registrations into active hotspots, which is a process we estimate would take 120 days, more or less, until the same number of registrations is the number of hotspots. This is before, of course, we appear on any web pages other than our own, before we are on the ISPs with whom already we've signed to sell the services phone ready. So it looks like we will be a distant number one hotspot network in the world. Certainly hope so. Now, our vision here is to build a Wi-Fi nation. And the nation concept got us into trouble in Spain, who's still trying to understand what kind of nation it is, and the Catalans say they're a nation, and everybody says they're a nation. And we don't want to be part of that debate. But I think in America, people understand the concept of a nation as people who have something in common. Of course, we cannot say that Wi-Fi can ever compare to a national identity. But all we're saying is, we build a Wi-Fi nation, a nation of people who share Wi-Fi. And please understand these, like all of the things, or many of the things we do, with humor, and certainly not literally. Now, we link, basically there is a global Wi-Fi network, it's just locked. What we do is we unlock the global Wi-Fi network, which already exists in many places. Of course, not in the digital, not in places that have been digitally excluded, which is certainly 4 billion or more people of the planet. But among the people who are digitally included, the Wi-Fi nation exists, but is not such. And that's what we're doing. We're putting it together. And these are just definitions of what phone is, and which you can read as I guess, I don't know if the other people in the IRC, I'm sorry, maybe they cannot read them, so I'll go over them. But it's a community that's becoming the largest in the world, a community that has found a model that is liked by the ISPs. And that's something that is a breakthrough for us. Coming to America, I saw that in America, Wi-Fi, there's a little Wi-Fi war going on. You know, there's Wi-Fi is either free or a ripoff. You know, and we try to say, why should it be either free or a ripoff? Why can't it be either free or affordable? So we're coming here with a $2 a day rate, which makes, if you're a Phonero and you're a donor, you always get Wi-Fi for free. But if you're not a donor, you get it for $2 a day. So we think that Wi-Fi can be free or affordable, and we share a significant part of those $2 with the ISPs. So we are making proposals to ISPs to do this, and we were very well received by ISPs. I cannot disclose exactly who we have seen, but at this time I would say we have active contacts with all the major ISPs in the United States, and we are being very well received because they thought that their ARPU was only declining, that they were never going to make more money per customer, that they were in a price war, more bandwidth, less money, you know, more bandwidth, less money, kind of a depressing environment to work in. And then we come and we say, when the aliens come by, the aliens are the people who pay the $2, we give you a significant part of that money, and all of a sudden, we go to a cable company and we say, did you realize that you were possibly a certain type of mobile operator? And they listen to us. They certainly have a serious case of penis envy with the mobile operators who are so profitable. And so they say, hey, you know, maybe we can increase our ARPU here. And they listen to us. And that's where we are. Now, we think that the mobile operators will first probably dislike us, maybe in 2006, and then like us in 2008. The reason why we think they would like us now is we kind of go against their per-minute pricing, but the reason we think they like us in 2008 is they'll move into a flat rate pricing like the internet, and then they will want traffic alleviation. They will want somebody to take off the traffic from them because they cannot. The 3G technology is really a 1996 technology being used in 2006, and they have a serious problem of network upgrade. And with us, we very much see ourselves teaming up with mobile operators. It's just not there yet, because right now they're trying to promote their offerings, but I can assure you that if Steve Jobs walked into Verizon with a new EVDO iPod, and he says, here's a gift for you, Verizon, all the 30 gig, 60 gig from now on will flow freely in your network, Verizon will say, thanks, Steve, but no thanks. And Wi-Fi can withstand iPods with Wi-Fi, but I don't think the mobile networks can withstand. They always say download a song, but you know when we use iPods, it's not a song, right? And now it's video, and now it's 30 gig, and I don't know of too many networks that can withstand that kind of traffic, that it's either Wi-Fi networks. And here I'll make a brief parenthesis. The average bandwidth available to Americans, in my experience, again, not scientific, just my personal experience, is pretty poor today to that one available to the average European. From what I see in Spain, in France, in Germany. In Spain, we get, for 30 euros, we get 20 megs, up to 20 megs. And even though the 20 meg is an exaggeration and you never get it, I've been measuring the download speeds I have everywhere I go in America. And even though this is the mecca of the internet and the home of the internet in many ways, I do think that the average speed of the internet in America now is pretty slow, you know, and that has been my experience. So I can understand, by the way, that Phoneros can have concerns in America about sharing, and that's why our software allows tweaking for that and protection so you don't share over a certain percentage of your bandwidth. Now, the here in this slide, what you see is that we raised $21.7 million from Skype, Google Index Ventures, Sequoia Capital. We also have Mike Volpe from Cisco on our board. So for being revolutionaries, we've got, frankly, a number of well-established, I would say, partners to go. We have a sort of a funny concept of revolution when we say that we think Linus Torvalds is a revolutionary. We also think Bill Gates is one, and certainly we seem to annoy one half of the population or another when we say that. But we do think that the world needs both. We do think the world needs the people who share and the people who build for profit. And we think most of the Wi-Fi models that have failed is because they have been exclusively free. And that leads to a lot of people who obviously don't pay, and that leads to a lack of investment. In fact, the models in Wi-Fi seem to be so far only Linus or only Bill's. I mean, only people who rip you off, or only people who share with you but don't give you anything. And we think you need the Bills and the Linuses to work together in a way to build a network, okay? So now these are some of the people of the board, and I wanted to show that, of course, you have many people, many, many familiar faces here. And we're very, very happy, and it's my first time today at the Berkman Institute, and I'm very happy to be here after having collaborated with many of the people who you know and who have been so active giving us suggestions and help. So I just wanted to say thank you here to everybody involved, because it's been wonderful to have all these ideas. Sometimes, of course, you know, like in networks, when they say the packets collide, you know, and that reduces the... In Wi-Fi, too, we've had a lot of packet collisions, too, a lot of conflicting ideas, but I think that's what makes us function, you know. And this is the European Phonero Leaders, and we have a wonderful group of Phonero Leaders in Europe. I really don't have time to go over each one of them. I will mention Antonio Saez, who's my buddy and who built Terra and then Ya.com with me, Christiane Zusam, who's an amazing entrepreneur in Germany who built TV networks and so on. And Tuan, who's also a good friend and a great blogger and a great critical thinker, I would say. Maybe I should comment a little bit on me as a blogger, or as an entrepreneur blogger. I started blogging, I was converted by a man who's here, by Joichi Ito, who's my friend who used to bug me about blogging when I didn't really understand what it could do to me. And because I had a personal website, but it was really a different... It didn't have a backtrack channel. It didn't have a feedback channel. And when we started Phone, we blocked it, which some people think it's insane. I mean, the day I had the idea of Phone, I blogged it. And people... Many meetings, they say, but don't you believe in secrecy, or don't you think you're corporate secrets? And in fact, one of the biggest problems we've had so far is that I want to blog a lot of things that other people don't want me to blog, because I really want to blog the birth and evolution of this company. And that has, for example, in the case of Google, I went to Google, I blogged, I was there and when we were first talking, and you know, I also posted some pictures that I had blogged at Google, and sometimes they weren't happy, and I can understand. I mean, and Google is a very open company, and there are many open companies who still have these policies, and they make you sign papers. And I would say less so in Europe, by the way. In Europe, it's really, things are more discretionary. You know, they may not like you if you do something, but they're less likely to antagonize you from a legal point of view in that way. But we love to blog, and I love to blog, and I learned to blog from Joichi. And so we've been blogging since we started, and I tend to associate with people who do the same thing, and we've gotten an enormous amount of... Well, another issue about blogging is that I blog a lot of ideas that I have related to Phone, and I want to say to the people who listen to this and to all of you that we should not confuse posts with announcements. Like, a lot of the things I post, for example, I posted an idea that I had that we would go around the world sniffing the open Wi-Fi networks, and we would include them on our maps as people who would like to share them. And then a lot of people posted in my blog and said, oh, what a stupid idea. A lot of people leave these networks open because they don't know how to put the password. You're going to compromise their security, or they are promoting it. Well, they destroyed me, basically. And I said, okay, fine. We're not going to do this. And then some of my people say, oh, you announced that you're going to do this, and then you're not going to do it. And I say, you don't understand. My blog is sort of a trial balloon. I post things there, and then people attack them many times. Or sometimes they say, this is a great idea, you know, but it puts me close to a lot of smart people around the world. And I'll keep on blogging because I keep getting learning. That's basically why I do it, I would say. So this is the scenario that you see mostly around the world, you know, the networks log, Some are open. Maybe this is not fair. Maybe you see in Madrid one open per seven blocked or something. But FON wants to change this. And FON, well, first of all, what we're going to have at FON is a page that shows who you are to your neighbors as a FONero. So we're working on opening our API, so anybody who'd like to design social pages can do so. We invite certainly any developers who may be listening to this or maybe here. For example, we think delis may promote, we may want to promote their specials when they offer FON, or we think bloggers may want to promote their blogs when they offer their Signal, or we think somebody may want to build a little intercom so when somebody, you know, in Europe, maybe less in America, people go down your house and they shout, you know, Juan, estás arriba, and they shout at you. It's like the intercom, you know, and now maybe you can have a little Wi-Fi intercom where you shout through the Wi-Fi, you know, maybe with Skype or with any SIP client. So that's the idea. So we think we can turn this sort of ugly picture, because it does look ugly to me, into something nice where people see who you are. And, you know, and if you want to be an anonymous FONero, you know, like some philanthropists who are like, I don't want anybody to know, you know, that I'm a nice guy, you know, that's fine too. There's few of those left, though. So these are the metrics. We got over 20,000 registered FONeros, and I know we've been criticized. Oh, why did you talk about register? Why don't you talk about active? Why don't you talk? Well, right now we talk about register. We'll talk about active. Obviously, the active is very few right now, but growing very fast. Okay, we do think it's a process from being registered being active. I already said this, and this is where people, you know, enter our Spanish page, our English page. We have Chinese FONeros already. We have Japanese FONeros, Australian FONeros, New Zealander FONeros. It's for something that just started. You know, it's pretty remarkable how. In America, by the way, we seem to be a very bi-coastal proposition for some reason. Maybe somebody here knows more why. But maybe because the Midwest is, you know, doesn't pay to be a FONero when you don't have any neighbors. So maybe that explains why.
As someone from Chicago, our neighbor, they're occasional hotspots.
Do we have Chicago? I think Chicago. We have Chicago. Look, what's empty is not Chicago. Yeah. Okay. Now, bi-coastal and the lakes. So these are the people who spoke about us in the announcement, and we got a lot of press coverage on the announcement. And this is the blog. The blog said, like, when we announced, FON was the second most searched word in Technorati for a couple of days, and it was pretty impressive. Okay, so this is sort of why FON, you know? And I'll just go through these drivers, growth drivers. You know, users want the internet everywhere, that's obvious. VoIP, some people say, are you FON because FON of the telephone? And we say, yes, maybe. There's also a tribe in Africa called FON and a language called FON. And we thought of the telephone, then we learned about the tribe. Then we thought we were not going to be a movimiento, but we were going to be a tribe. But then we were in Spain, and it looked kind of weird that we would portray ourselves as an African tribe. And so we chose to the movimiento, but we kept the name and whatever. Now, Wi-Fi is rapidly disseminating. That's obviously Wi-Fi devices are rapidly proliferating. Of course, 3G is a failure from the point of devices, because if not, people would be making all sorts of gadgets with 3G, and they don't. They make them with Wi-Fi. So these are this is FON's view of the of humanity, and it's Linus's bills are aliens, and everybody in this room is one of these. At this point, according to FON, meaning if you sign up, you're Linus. If you share, if you are Linus, you would do it because you want the global roaming. You want to share. If you're a Bill, you do it because you want the money. And if you're an alien, you connect and you You don't care about how the network is built. You just want the Wi-Fi. You want to use it. You want to pay the $2 and not bother, you know. So most people in the world don't want to bother. And then there's the builders in the world. And the builders come into shapes, the Linuses and the Bills. So phone grows through word of mouth. It grows through the ISPs, hardware makers. Well, Mike Volpe from I should also disclose that, Mike Volpe from Cisco is on our board, and many people have said, oh, that doesn't mean you sold to Cisco, everything Cisco. And I'm telling you, I see your point. We have a Linksys router on our page. It kind of looks like we're very close to Cisco, but believe me, they have to compete for the contracts, and if not, we'll have Buffalo, Netgear, anyone else. We're talking to other people. We're not bound to do this with Cisco. Or just to clarify, we're not bound to do anything special with anybody who invested with us. Okay, we don't have to show Google as a sign-up page or Skype as a sign-up page. We may, though, but we may if it makes sense. And if Yahoo makes more sense, we'll use Yahoo, and we're not, or we'll use the blogger sign-up page, or we'll do whatever makes sense for the company. So this is how you become a Phonero. You download the software, you send it to your router, and you get the access point working. It's not that easy, I'll be honest. It's not that easy to become a Phonero this way. And it requires some level of technical expertise, although it's easier now than it was 3 months ago. Like, if you tried us when we started, now it's easier. It's easier to buy the router for $25. I also should say we lose $20 on every router we sell. We're selling them at that price because we want to generate initial critical mass. I don't think we'll sell it at that price for very long. But so you buy it and it's plug and play plus a few glitches, which you may experience. But overall, I think it's pretty... Well, we have a lot of Phoneros, so at least many pass the test. It's not as easy as Skype, and it's certainly not as easy now as it will be. Now, this is how we work. The Linuses and the Bills are the people who are Phoneros and have the routers, and the aliens and the Linuses are the ones who connect. Now, the Linuses really go, they roam for free even in the Bill hotspot. So if you're a Bill, you're going to have to live with the fact that the Linuses won't pay to you, okay? And that's c'est la vie, you know. The end. So maybe you have some questions for me.
I have a question from the IRC.
Yes.
Actually from David Eisenberg, who wants to know, can someone please ask MV about the FON, Sprint stock symbol, the fact that the company name is the same. He also adds, when we go public, what will our stock symbol be? Sprint?
That's funny. Well, you're right. I mean, I didn't know. And a lot of these things, you know, that happened, like David Seyfried, who's my friend, and I know him from Technorati. Then he said that he had started Sputnik, and he said that it was very much like phone. And so a lot of things. And then we learned that phone was a stock symbol in America for Sprint. Well, certainly I can say nobody, because it's not the brand of Sprint. I mean, nobody has come to us from Sprint that said, hey, we are phone, because they are Sprint. And if we go public, we'll certainly need another stock symbol, or we'll go public in Spain, where you may get the other symbol just because you get the MC, or you get another type of symbols.
On NASDAQ, you can use Wi-Fi. That's the ability.
Ah, okay. That one, I see you've been researching. Yes?
Can you talk a little bit more about the relationship between phone, the ISP, and the end customer? Is it just that the ISP runs the phone firmware and then allows aliens to subscribe to the fee-sharing model, or is it more that they actually offer additional services to their own customers?
Well, our message to American ISPs right now is that we're really open for their feedback and the way they would like to do it. But I'll explain the deals we've made with the European ISPs. The deals we made with them is that they sell out their services phone ready. The customer has a choice if they want to be a Phonero or not. And the software is embedded in the router, the Wi-Fi router that the European ISPs give to their customers. We then learned that the American ISPs don't give every customer a Wi-Fi router. So certainly the more I learn about this, I see the Europeans get a better deal from for all these things. But which is not true in general, by the way. I can say Americans get a better deal on almost everything except, it seems, this type of telecommunication. It says that most markets are more competitive in America, and America invented unbundling. But Europe adopted it, and America then seems to have rejected it. I'm not so sure, but unbundling really works in Europe. So the ISP, well, I started three ISPs, Viatel, Yahoo.com, and Jazztel, and I manage ISPs, built ISPs, and I'm very familiar with the environment of the ISP. So the answer to you is that's how we work in Europe, and we'll see exactly how we work in America. Yes.
So I have a question about the billing. So how exactly are individual phone users going to be billed, and how exactly are individual phone providers going to be compensated for their contributions? Is this going to be like T-Mobile registration for the clients? Is this going to be like ISP payments for the bills? Yeah.
No, it's a very relevant question. We started with a 120-day free trial because we're trying to figure all these things out. So that's my honest answer. Now, my corporate answer is we're looking at all these, and we hired a billing company, which actually is a significant billing company in Europe that does a lot of billing for mobile operators. We're being presented with all sorts of choices and on how to do this. Methods, credit card, prepaid, PayPal. We're being presented with all of these, and we are making decisions, I would say, pretty quickly. And if I had to guess now how it's going to be, is that the first time you come in, you won't be able to pay $2 because it's too small a payment to do on a credit card, let's say. I would guess the first time it will be something similar to Skype where you pay 10. You will get 5 days that you can use anytime, maybe in a year. And you will buy this for 5 days, and you will be able to log in, 5 days for a while, test the service, and then we will reimburse the ISP when the money is when the expense is incurred, probably not when it's sold, and we'll give them the proportion of money that goes to them. And if it's a bill, we will give first the bill, and then we share with the ISP. So in the case of the bill, most of the money goes to the bill, and some goes to us, and some goes to the ISP. And in the case of a Linus, the money will go to the ISP and will go to us, and the Linus will get free roaming. And I think that's it.
Eisenberg has a question from the IRC. He's asking whether any Phoneros currently functioning are getting any flack from their DSL or cable provider about terms of service.
It's very interesting because this is the kind of thing you shouldn't say, because when you say it, it happens. But the answer is no. And the answer is no because... they have asked, by the way, regulatory bodies too. There's been tremendous debate about this in Europe, and I think by now in America too, because we're really public. There's certainly no secret of what we're doing. And I think the ISPs have a cautious, wait-and-see attitude. They probably say, hey, if we make money out of this, increase our ARPU, reduce our churn, let's adopt this. But we have a job to do showing the ISPs that this is the case, because indeed there is an issue here with the terms of service. And we also tell our customers to consult with the ISPs, which many of them are doing. And obviously nobody got back to us saying, oh, sorry, we cannot become a Phonero because my company told us we shouldn't do this. Also, the fact that this is only free among people who paid is not really free, everybody can use it. About 20% of the networks in America, and I'm guessing, are open, which it means that anybody can use you, your neighbor. And we've spoken to ISPs, and they seem to like the fact that in phone you share only with people who are already paid, because they think that it's going to lead to a situation that's balanced to them. They get paid. And then with this little kind of war that there's going on in America between the Wi-Fi movement and the telcos, they see the phone model and they say, well, in phone, it's free for those who pay. It's an incentive to become a customer of an ISP, because if I'm on dial-up, then I choose to go with the ISP, because I used to pay $30 to have bandwidth at home. Now I pay $30, I have bandwidth all over the world where there's Phoneros, so, and it's free to the ISP, so more people will say, okay, this is my time now to get broadband. And so they see it as an incentive. We are an incentive. We also say that in the website, that, you know, and so I think the ISPs are realizing, well, that I'm a builder of ISPs, that I understand their business model, that we believe the world needs, as I said, the Bills and the Linuses, no matter what people may think about their telecom companies. Without them, they wouldn't have the internet. And, you know, so we are friendly to them, but friendly to the user. We think we found a new formula to intercept these. And even in the free Wi-Fi movement, what we say is our model is sustainable. We have a sustainable free Wi-Fi system, which is you pay at home and you have it anywhere in the world, but we don't say never pay and have free bandwidth, because that's not true of gasoline and that's not true of, you know, many other things in life.
Yeah. So from the consumer side, there are two questions. The first one is, you said that you provide a way to limit bandwidth if you're concerned about the total bandwidth. How do you limit the bandwidth of consumers? If you do that, do you have a way of, you know, anticipating what the standard bandwidth for the Phonero user would be in different places? Can they limit it to 1 KB an hour? Is there a minimum? And the second one is security. How do you have any way of controlling for, you know, variations in security in different routers, you know, protecting information?
Do you want to answer that?
So the first question was about bandwidth. So we have very advanced techniques for limiting exactly how much bandwidth the user shares. So the user can actually say, well, I only want to share 50% of my bandwidth. So that functionality is there. There's also the ability to say, I only want to limit, say, 15 people at any given time to connect to my router. So all of these functionalities are there in the device. It's a Linux device, so actually any code hacker can go in and modify the device and customize it if they want to. From a security standpoint,
and do you have a minimum that you request from Phonero? So you are supposed to share at least these with the other Phonero?
Yeah, we haven't defined the exact minimum yet, but it's probably going to be somewhere where it's useful for most people. So maybe that's 30%, maybe it's 40% if you're a Linus, because the whole idea is that you have to share. And for security, we have one of the main things that we do is we separate the network from anyone connecting over a wireless network to your local network. So you can have a private network where your home computers are connected to, and another network that the strangers or the Phoneros connect to, which is separated by a firewall.
Maybe you'd like to comment just a little that the software is on the internet. Well, let me just say, our
software is based on open source, and there's two main sources for our software. It's called OpenWRT, and anybody can look it up on the internet. DDWRT, it's openwrt.org and dd-wrt.org. And we call it Phone Basic and Phone Advanced, but they're really two versions or customized versions. We also contribute to the developers of OpenWRT and to the developer of DDWRT, which is one programmer known as Brainslayer or Sebastian Gottschall, a German programmer who's actually an outstanding programmer. And so we support or contribute to these two projects, and I understand that there's over 100,000 access points in the world that have been programmed with this software. It's very proven, both OpenWRT and DDWRT. And we have had complaints at FON relating to many different things, but actually not to the functioning of the firmware itself. We, of course, have to improve on our shop and our provisioning and certain other things, but the firmware, it's pretty proven.
So a philosophical question. Why separate the Linuses from the bills? I mean, suppose that I wanted to be a Linus, but I deployed my phone router somewhere that just doesn't get any customers, just doesn't get any users. I happen to be in a place I claim to be providing service, but in reality I'm not. Wouldn't it make more sense, perhaps, to simply collapse the Linuses and bills into one, and provided that I'm providing enough service to have made enough money as a bill, then I can get free service outside, otherwise no?
Well, we have other incentives to be a Linus. It's not just to share the Wi-Fi. You also share your personality, as I was saying, through the neighborhood. If you like your blog, you become in contact with your neighbors. We are also working on meshing capabilities, so you can connect directly to your neighbors and have like a neighborhood LAN, let's say, a Wi-Fi LAN, which is certainly an incentive to have your Wi-Fi router by the window so you can connect to your neighbors. We're working on another software. These are all R&D projects. These are not announcements, just R&D projects. They're bloggable, but they're. In fact, we invite anybody who would like to collaborate with us. I at MIT today, we made this invitation, and in 2 hours, we had very adequate person for this project we wanted to do. The other project is like a download accelerator, which is probably excellent in the States, more so than in Europe from what I've seen, which is you and your neighbors, when you want to get something, you would pull the connections of your Phonero neighbors as well. And when others want to do the same, so among a group of paying customers, they pool their bandwidth through phone. So I see many other advantages that are going to make people want to put their router by the window, not just the money. I see the meshing, I see the acceleration, I see the possibility of blogging. I see also the fact that this is like a neighborhood thing. Your neighbor is going to come and ask you if you can do this, so when he goes to the bus stop, which I know few people in America do, but when you walk, you have Wi-Fi all the way, and so the person is going to be disappointed if you said you were going to do this and then you hid your router in the closet and you say, screw my neighbor, I'm just not going to share. And so, because also let's understand phone is not for your neighbor, because if your neighbor is not a Phonero and he has to pay $2 a day, $2, $2, $2, he's going to call Verizon and sign up to Verizon because he's not going to leech on you when he has to pay. So your neighbor has to be a client of an ISP. If he is, why is he going to use your network? He has his. It just doesn't make sense. And so we think we have it figured out. But then when you go to a bar owner, which is the typical bill, somebody has a coffee shop, a bar, whatever, they want to offer, or things like that. They say, well, I don't care about global roaming. I don't care about my neighbors. And he has a bar. And he sells coffees, and he wants to make a little more money. So for those people, but at the same time, he doesn't want to give all maybe totally free Wi-Fi because he doesn't want people there to sit all day and consume nothing. So he says, well, at least I get the $2 from these, a dollar from these people. I have a little disincentive for you to park your life at my bar, but just like people say, look, if you sit at my table, you got to order something, So, but it's something. It's not $12. It's I was yesterday at an office of a very large cable company, and incredibly, not only did they not have Wi-Fi, but the only Wi-Fi that was available, you had to pay $12. And you know, it's this kind of thing, you know, that for us on the internet, you find a little offensive, you know, and you say, hey, I wish they had Wi-Fi and I could use it, and I'm sure they will. So it's just, I think we've come up with a concept that we are in favor of, but I can see your criticism and, you know, merging the Bills and the Linuses, but it's really worked very well into defining the type of personalities who want to do this. Yeah.
How does phone get over the critical mass issue that this really only becomes valuable when there are lots and lots of phoneros around that you can?
Yeah, no, it's the biggest challenge we have for sure. So far, so good in the sense that we're getting so many such an incredible number of phoneros compared to what we said before when we presented the investment to our partners. But I guess what could kill phone is what can kill democracy, which is if people say, I love democracy, but I hate to vote, you know? And you say, well, yeah, I love Wi-Fi everywhere, but it's installing the router, you know, like, or indifference. It's indifference. If we don't manage to capture the imagination of people and people just, they're indifferent about this, I guess we're not going to succeed. But we think we've seen tremendous enthusiasm. We think a lot of people wanted to share. They just wanted a safe way to share. They wanted a way to share that somehow gave them something too, because now you share, you get free global roaming. But we really have to work very hard on all the other elements to make it a success. The meshing, the downloading, the social aspects, the... And we have to work on our communication so people, you know, agree to do this. It's totally voluntary.
So a question about the architecture. Do you think it's possible to distribute consumption? So if Phoneros is for the first time unifying the guys who are subscribed to an ISP, do you think if I'm mobile, I would be able to consume from different Phoneros at the same time? In a way that I don't take a lot from one, but I take from distributed Phoneros. So in a way, it's a lot better for those who are fixed in one place, and it's a lot better for the mobile customers because they get a lot of, you know, bandwidth at low cost for the static Phoneros. Have you thought about this? Do you think it's possible?
Well, it's interesting because we were proposed the same thing this morning by Michalis from MIT. Michalis is an expert on Wi-Fi, the one who's doing the One Laptop Per Child project with Nicolas Negroponte. And he explained to me, I'm not an engineer, and Ejovi is a programmer, but he's not also a Wi-Fi radio engineer. We had a tutorial this morning on radio and antennas, and ideal antennas. And it turns out that 802.11b, which is considered an older version, it's actually more reliable for range because it sends less bandwidth. So there is a, so I, you know, it's kind of maybe shameful that I didn't know this, but now that we learned this, we're trying to think, so the way to increase range is to limit bandwidth, and the way to protect Phoneros also is to limit bandwidth, and there's a lot of advantages to limiting bandwidth, which is also, by the way, why Google, our investors, they chose to do a network of limited bandwidth, and because it's much easier to supply limited bandwidth and a lot of bandwidth because there's a trade-off in range and bandwidth that I wasn't so aware of. So we have a software that allows us to tweak with that. So maybe we should. And especially in America, where the distances are greater, and like in Madrid, the buildings are really next to each other. I mean, you're in a window, and there's probably, you know, 20 meters until the other person is, you know, on the other side, and so on. Maybe we should really think of systems for open, more dispersed cities, where you limit the bandwidth and you increase the range. Yeah.
So a question about the ISP pricing models. So it seems to me that if we imagine a world in which all of the Phoneros in a particular area are pooling their bandwidth, then this, as seen by the ISP, the traffic pattern is less bursty and more flat. And ISPs today tend, at least in the US, tend to have developed business models that rely very heavily upon individuals' usage being very bursty. And how do you think that will play a role?
Well, I built ISPs, and I am... It really depends on who the customers are and which ISP they belong to. America seems to have a much more monopolistic situation than Europe. For example, if you see in France, in Spain, all the ISPs that the Foneros come from, is the same number of ISPs than in America, but America is like, I don't know how many times the size of a country. And so what it's likely that going to happen, and I really have no idea which ISPs you have here in Boston, but I would imagine that there's a very high concentration of many customers who come from the same. If they come from the same ISP, it really, you know, doesn't matter because they're getting the traffic, you know, and it's also the same building, so it's the same central office, the same. If they pull from different ISPs, you know, we don't really think at Phone. In fact, one ISP, and I can't disclose who, they asked us and we agreed to sign a contract that says that if they have increased costs in peering because of Phone, that we will pay for that. And we took the gamble because we don't really think they will have significant increases in peering. We think that Phone is, you're mostly at home, you're mostly at work, but you're occasionally around, and you'd love to walk around with your gadgets, not just your laptop, but now with a PSP with Wi-Fi, the Nintendo DS with Wi-Fi, the Apple iPod, which is probably soon going to have Wi-Fi, the digital cameras, which now are coming out with Wi-Fi, and all the gaming, all the things, the MP3, other players with Wi-Fi. And so Phone is you and your gadgets roaming around, and we don't think this is... We think it's going to increase usage, but we don't think it's going to really increase it in some... in the incredible amount. But it's true, it's funny, but we get a lot of questions like that in America about the exact fairness of this. Like some people say, hey, but this guy lives in the boondocks. The other guy lives downtown. Everybody hooks to his network. The other guy occasionally share. You know, if not, I could say, well, what about the incredible unfairness of paying $30 a month for the internet, and some people use it once a week, and everybody, the other guy is an emuler, BitTorrent addict who's, you know, and I don't know about that level of fairness. I really think the internet should not have that level of fairness. I think it's okay to have some people who use it a lot, some people who use it less, you know, some people who like this website, some people who likes another website. There is an element of the internet which is about everybody bringing a brick and we all have a house, but then maybe somebody brought the door and another guy brought the brick and we all have a house, you know, kind of like. So what's important to me is that everybody should have access to the same content, for example. Like when I heard about these things were happening here, that some people say that they will give preference to certain sites because they kind of bribe the ISP or whatever, pay the ISP, or I don't know how exactly that works, but... I found really bad, okay, because I think that it's very important that if you're a little guy with a website, that you get, you know, a same chance and not a big guy with a website comes before you because they paid or things like that. But, you know, I don't think fairness is important up to a certain point, but then you cannot say people have different habits. And you cannot punish somebody because they live in a suburb, but you can protect somebody from extreme consumption, which is what we do if they live in front of Harvard Square and everybody's there on a Sunday, and we protect them.
My question is about the cities that are thinking of developing free networks, like the Philadelphia.
Very important.
How are you different?
Well, we're very different. We're very different, and in America right now, we are... sort of the third way, okay, of doing this. There's one way, which is lobbying for legislation to ban that, which has been successfully done in a lot of parts of America. There's another way, which is defeating the lobbies and doing that. And there's a third way, which is telco-friendly and using-friendly, which is the phone way. Because if a city is thinking about going Wi-Fi with phone, we can... The cost of going Wi-Fi with phone is really very low. Let's say the city wants to do this, and they say, okay, in all our public places, we're going to get routers, you know, at $25 or whatever. We'll probably subsidize them to probably we'll give them away in a quantity, and they will get it in the libraries. And to me, it's reasonable that a city would want to have Wi-Fi in all the public places, the public schools, and that they should provide for it, and that's totally reasonable. What's not reasonable to me is that a city should become a telco operator of some kind or build their own telco company, and that sounds to me a little, you know, back. Somehow I don't have such confidence in government, you know, to do this. And so I think the city should put Wi-Fi in all the public places that belongs to the city, the schools, the hospitals, everything that belongs to the city. But I think the city should collaborate with its citizens to build a network in the phone way. So then you come to Boston, and you will, if you're a phoneer anywhere in the world, you get free Wi-Fi. And if you aren't, you pay $2. You know, sounds to me like a friendly gesture. It's either free or $2. But the $2 saves the telecom operators. And frankly, I know many people don't like them, as I said this before, but I really think that without them, we wouldn't have the internet. And the idea of building a Wi-Fi, free Wi-Fi in a city and destroy a telecom operator, because really it's hard to imagine how they're going to make a living if there's free Wi-Fi everywhere, I can't see how that is not eventually going to backfire, going to be sort of like a socialist system in which then there'll be no improvement and less incentive, or only the rich people will get better Wi-Fi and the poor people will get the free Wi-Fi. It doesn't seem appealing to me. So I think the best model is a combination of municipal Wi-Fi in the places where the city exists, and then citizen Wi-Fi, which is what we're offering, for the places where the people are. And lastly, I think that a combination, let's say Tropos, what Tropos is doing, to summarize, I think everybody's necessary. In some cases, you needed installations like Tropos. In some others, we're great for indoor coverage, for example. Tropos is great for outdoor coverage. If you have a very large park, like Central Park, no way you could cover it. It's very difficult to cover it with phone. You know, people would have to, I don't know what they would have to do. And plus, you have to get the people who live on Fifth Avenue to be phoneros, I don't know. And they would have to beam some pretty strong signal to get to Central Park. So if you want to have a Wi-Fi park, you have to have a company like Tropos deploying the park. But while Tropos is great for the outdoors, they have a hard time getting into the house, into the properties. And we have a harder time getting outside. So I see an opportunity for many compatible models. What I really don't see is a city taking over and saying, we're going to be the Wi-Fi telecom operator of the city or team up with somebody, and because I think that will fail in the end. Even if it succeeds at the beginning, there'll be a lack of investment. And we are talking to many cities, by the way, and we have Andrew Rache, who's working with us, who's very strong in the municipal Wi-Fi movement, is doing a fantastic job presenting phone to cities. So we are talking to cities, and we are talking to cities in Europe, very much so. In Europe, there was a similar war, and so far it's been won by the telecom companies. Like the city of San Sebastian, they built a Wi-Fi network, and Telefonica lobbied in a way that they forced the city to charge a lot, actually. And now there's this Wi-Fi network that few people use because it's so expensive, and the people of San Sebastian are upset. Rightly so, by the way, I would also be. So it's, I think the phone way, also by the way, a city could choose all the low-income neighborhoods that they want and donate the routers. Phone, by the way, could also donate some routers. So we can see a process where very low-income neighborhoods get routers for free if a city wants to intervene at that level to equal things out throughout the city. We just think phone is a better way, more citizens' way of doing this. Okay? Well, thank you. Thank you all very much. It's very good. Thank you.